Radio Prague News.
Prague City Councillors have approved investments for 2012, with the lion's share of capital expenditures going to the Blanka Tunnel project. Prague Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda is planning to overhaul the city's municipal police force. And in tennis, Petra Kvitova easily got through the first round at the Australian Open. Councillors at Prague City Hall approved investment plans for 2012 on Tuesday, with the largest share, 4.84 billion crowns, going to the city's Blanka Tunnel project. An additional billion crowns will connect the tunnel with one at Strahov. Transport infrastructure will take up roughly half of the city's capital expenditures in 2012. In addition, funds have been allocated to the completion of a swimming pool center, plus repairs to Bulovka Hospital, and the completion of a pavilion for elephants and hippos at Prague Zoo. Additional millions of crowns will also go towards the building of new nursery schools and of a pavilion for Alzheimer's sufferers at a Prague home for seniors. City councillors passed the budget for 2012 in December, agreeing to expenditures of 43.9 billion crowns. 10.2 billion of that were allocated for investment. Prague Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda is reportedly planning changes to the municipal police, long dissatisfied with a lack of transparency on the force, a spokeswoman at City Hall has confirmed. According to Teresa Krasenska, the mayor will present plan changes soon and will reportedly seek a new selection procedure to name a new chief of the municipal police to improve effectiveness. The mayor criticized organization within the force by saying that police officers needed to be more visible on the street. The mayor is pushing for a number of the force's SUVs, including Hummers, to be sold off. Controversial former Education Ministry employee Ladislav Batora, who resigned from his post as head of human resources last year and later as an advisor, received a severance package of 250,000 crowns, the Czech daily Mladá Dnes reported. Both Mr. Batora, the former head of an ultra-right-wing think tank, and the health minister Josef Dobeš declined to comment. The ministry spokesman Antonín Zelenka explained that Mr. Batora had a right to severance pay as his post had been abolished. Mr. Batora was at the center of several scandals last year, voicing, for example, highly controversial opinions about a gay rights event in the capital. He also made insulting comments on the internet about the country's foreign minister, for which his boss, Education Minister Dobeš, later apologized. Police have been unable to uncover who was responsible for leaking information in the Pandur armored carrier deal, High State Prosecutor in Ostrava Rostislav Bajger revealed on Tuesday, confirming the case will be shelved. According to the prosecutor, police uncovered numerous details, meaning it could theoretically be reopened in the future. It was already nearly shelved twice before, but in the first instance, investigators asked for more time. Last year, Czech newspapers published the testimony of a confidential witness in the case of allegedly overpriced purchases of personnel carriers for the Czech military that may have involved hefty bribes. Turning to sport, and Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová beat Russia's Vera Dushevina 6-2, 6-love on Tuesday to advance to the second round of the Australian Open. In the first set, the Czech lost her serve but nevertheless dominated in the match, which she wrapped up in just over 1 hour. Second seed Kvitová will face Carla Suárez Navarra from Spain next. I'm Jan Fellinger. That's the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, home births are back in the spotlight as a group of pregnant women take their case to an international court of law. What's the quality of life in Prague like? We'll bring you the results of a fresh survey. In today's Czech history, we'll look at the life and legacy of Jan Palach, a student who made the ultimate sacrifice in the name of freedom. And we'll wind up our half-hour show with a Czech lesson as usual. Do please stay with us. A woman's right to give birth at home is back in the spotlight in the Czech Republic as a group of pregnant women intend to file a complaint at the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. The Czech state makes planned home births virtually impossible. There are midwives qualified to deliver babies at home, but they lack official registration and insurance companies won't cover them. Rob Cameron has the story.
Home births are common in many parts of Europe, but in the Czech Republic, the practice is opposed by the authorities and made virtually impossible by reams of health ministry bureaucracy. Home births exist in a sort of legal grey area. Midwives are legally permitted to deliver babies at home, thanks to an EU directive. However, under Czech law, midwives must carry out home deliveries using almost the same conditions as that of a maternity ward, which is, of course, virtually impossible. That's partly why there are so few of them, only about 500 each year. That's far less than in Western Europe, where an estimated 3% of all births happen at home. Home births are also highly frowned upon by the Czech medical establishment, which, while excelling in many fields of medicine, including obstetrics, has also inherited a somewhat paternalistic attitude to patient choice, dating both from the communist period and the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Dr. Petr Velebil is from Prague's oldest maternity hospital, Podolí.
The home is simply not the safest environment in which to give birth. That is why the Czech medical community tries its utmost to convince pregnant mothers of the benefits of giving birth in a medical facility, which is prepared and therefore equipped to deal with any potential complications. These complications are usually sudden, immediate, and they require immediate medical attention.
Skeptical doctors say it was exactly such unforeseen complications that led to the botched delivery in 2009 of a baby boy who suffered severe brain damage and later died. Last year, the midwife who presided over that planned home birth, the head of the Union of Midwives, Ivana Koenigsmarkova, received a 2-year suspended sentence for negligence resulting in grievous bodily harm. Supporters say the case is being used to close all the remaining loopholes that allow home births a limited degree of legality. They point out that, for a start, babies die or suffer severe brain damage in hospital births too. Hospital doctors and midwives also make mistakes, they say. The regulations on home births also require technical equipment present, which is often not even used in hospital. The case being presented to the European Court of Human Rights claims the Czech Republic is ignoring a European directive which allows professional midwives to carry out their trade and denies Czech women their constitutional right to give birth at home. At present, 3 pregnant women have come forward to file their complaint in Strasbourg. The lawyer representing Mrs. Koenigsmarkova says more will follow. She is still convinced her client was wrongly convicted.
Mrs. Koenigsmarkova followed standards and procedures for home birth that were drawn up abroad, as such standards do not exist in the Czech Republic. She followed all these required procedures to the letter. Unfortunately, these optimal birth procedures, as they're called, contravene the standards laid down by the Czech Gynecological Association, which are basically the same recommended medical procedures that are used in hospital births.
Last year, a Hungarian woman won the right to give birth at home after a landmark verdict, and Czech women believe their turn is next. The Czech Republic, they say, is stuck in a post-communist mindset, refusing to allow a practice which is regarded as safe in Western Europe.
Rob Cameron with that report. Now, air quality, the unemployment rate, the cost of public transportation. Many factors influence the perceived quality of life in urban spaces. A fresh survey suggests that there is much left to improve when it comes to the quality of life in the Czech capital, with the most cited nuisances of Prague residents being garbage and graffiti. By contrast, public transportation is viewed as adequate and fairly priced by most. Sarah Barufka has more.
Graffiti, too much garbage on the streets, and a lack of cycling routes. Those were the most common complaints of Prague residents about the quality of life in the Czech capital. A fresh survey by the citizens' initiative Za lepší život v Praze, for a better life in Prague, suggests that compared to the EU's 26 other capitals, the city is losing points in many categories that affect the quality of life. One of the most common complaints is the graffiti that can can be seen on many buildings across Prague, says Radim Knap, one of the authors of the survey.
People hate graffiti. Not that they would hate the art itself, but they hate the way it destroys some buildings, especially in the historical center. And they're sad about the fact that it's really hard to prosecute this kind of vandalism.
Graffiti does really seem to be the bane of the Czech capital. The people I spoke to on Prague's streets were quick to point out that it really bothers them to see nice buildings covered in amateurishly sprayed tags.
I really don't like graffiti, and I think most people don't. They spray them where they shouldn't. They should not do it on new houses and in the trams.
Graffiti really is a problem here. As far as garbage removal is concerned, it really depends on which part of town you're in. Some parts are better in that respect than others.
Takže to potom už jako asi podle těch městských částí, no, jak se o to starají.
Já bych řekl, že hromadnou dopravu máme na opravdu světové špičce.
I think our transportation system is really world class. I don't mind graffiti that much, but as far as garbage on the street is concerned, there certainly are areas of the city that could use cleaning up.
Pokud se týká o nepořádek, tak jsou místa, které by zasluhovaly větší pozornost.
By contrast, Prague did well in the category of employment. The city is the sixth richest region in Europe, and its 4% unemployment rate puts it in third place of European cities with the lowest percentage of people out of a job. In addition, most Prague residents gave good grades to the city's public transportation system, says Mr. Knapp.
People really appreciate the way that this operates. And what we found out is that compared to the other cities, Prague has the most cheapest price of a month ticket compared to the income, which was quite surprising. And compared to the way it works and as it does very well, this was a surprising fact for us.
Prague also did well in terms of its percentage of green spaces, though the city's air pollution is above the EU average. Other areas where much is left to be desired are the Czech capital's cycling routes. Other European cities are much more bike-friendly, and crime. While violent crime is not a major problem, petty crime and theft continue to plague the Czech capital. Sarah Borovka there on the quality of life in Prague. Well, tell us what you think. What are the highs and lows of living in the Czech capital? We'll be glad to hear from you here at Radio Prague, so write to english@radio.cz. A reminder that you're with the International Service of Czech Radio, where it's now time to offer you a fresh edition of Czech History with Christian Falvey.
Czechoslovak Radio, January 16, 1969.
Městská správa veřejné bezpečnosti v Praze sděluje, že dnes kolem 15. hodiny se na Václavském náměstí těžce popálil 21-letý J.P., student filozofie.
The Municipal Office of Public Order in Prague reports that at around 3 p.m. today on Wenceslas Square, a 21-year-old art student, J.P., set himself on fire. He doused himself with a flammable liquid, set fire to his clothing, and suffered serious burns. The fire was extinguished with the speedy assistance of passers-by, and he was taken to hospital by rescue services for treatment. The motive for the act is under investigation.
It was one of the most remarkable single acts in Czechoslovak history, one that still today evokes mingled shock and admiration. The initial report of the self-immolation of Jan Palach, 5 months after the invasion of his country by Warsaw Pact forces, is but one of the materials available to the public through a new website launched to commemorate the life and sacrifice of the young activist. The team assembling the collection of documents, reports, essays and films has been at work since 2007 under the auspices of Charles University and now also under film director Agnieszka Holland, who is preparing a three-part film about Palach for HBO.
My name is Eva Nachmullerová. I'm a PhD student at Charles University, and also I work in the Czech radio. And we all gathered together to, well, to create these pages, because our attempt was not only gather one day a year to celebrate Palach's legacy, but also create something more permanent and more maybe to go deeper into his story and create a platform for a discussion about him.
Patrick Eichler is a journalist and writer and one of the editors of the voluminous commemorative book Jan Palach 69, which marked the 20th anniversary of Jan Palach's death 2 years ago.
From the website janpalach.cz, janpalach.eu, there are a few parts. One is introduction with general information about team and about web page. Second one, it's about Jan Palach, his life and act. Third one, it's called Memorial Places, and it's devoted to the places which are connected with Jan Palach's life and places which remind us of Jan Palach. Many statues, monuments, for example, Jan Palach's grave, etc. Fourth part, it's dedicated to living tortures, not only in Czechoslovakia, but all around Europe. For example, here is Oskar Brisevitz in Eastern Germany, or some people from Russia, Baltic states, etc. And there are also archives with films, with documents, with photos, etc. So people can use these documents, can use these texts, yeah, and these texts are not only in Czech, they are in English and in Polish, and will be also in French.
The website primarily, as you said, provides lots of information about the life of Jan Palach. What kind of person was he?
Jan Palach was a student of the Charles University, student of history and political economics of the Charles University. He was active member of student movement during 60s, during the Prague Spring. He was the son of middle-class family in the small city about 50 kilometers far from Prague. The city is called Všetaty. But what can we know about 20 years old young man? Yeah, he was a member of Sokol, it's a Czech athletic organization. Yeah, we know that his father was, I don't know, sweet maker, something like that. His mother was home worker, and he had one older brother who studied medical faculty, but afterwards he worked in one factory on the northern Bohemia.
K tragickému činu studenta Jana Palacha zaujal stanovisko také městský výbor komunistické strany.
The Municipal Council of the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia has made the following statement on the tragic act of the student Jan Palach. No one can remain indifferent to this desperate act, and the virtuous and sincere intentions of this boy cannot be doubted. At the same time, however, it is impossible to identify with the method that Jan Palach chose. For the good of socialism now and in the future, it is necessary to live, not die.
I think the main legacy of Jan Palach, it's politics. Yeah, because Jan Palach was interested in politics, and I think the self-immolation of Jan Palach in the middle of January 1968, it wasn't Jan Palach's first attempt to make politics in Czechoslovakia different. Jan Palach was a member of student council on the high economic school where he was studying first 2 years on the high school. He participated on the student strike at the end of the year 1968. And, for example, make one plan how to occupy Czech radio and make some public call for strikes and for protests at the end of the year 1968. And the self-immolation was the last step on his attempts how to make the Czech politics different in the 60s, yeah, way which started with the beginning of the Prague Spring movement.
So you feel like it was the accumulation of frustration for him after many attempts at trying to make a change?
I think it was not only frustration. It was a step in the way how to make politics different, how to open some possibilities which were closed by the normalization period in Czechoslovakia, yeah? How to cancel censorship, how to make the free elections possible, how to open culture space.
What does it mean for you personally? Why did you want to get involved with this project?
What has always appealed to me about Jan Palach, so he had the courage to act actively, to do something, to protest against this passivity or lethargy of the society, and he felt he had to do that even with so drastic cases as setting himself on fire. But it was not only his act of desperation or something, he had real political requirements.
It's a very drastic way to handle a situation or to express oneself. Do you think that it's really a suitable example today, especially when only 10 years ago there was a series of other people who were burning themselves on the same spot as Jan Palach, also protesting the situation in the Czech Republic more than 30 years later?
Yes.
Is it not actually really a dangerous example?
Yes, it's a really a drastic way of expressing himself or making a political statement. But I think it was the time and the regime in which Jan Palach acted like that. It forced him to do this act so drastically. I can't imagine, but it been horrible, just the state of the moral decline in the society, and he felt something has to be done, and I think we can't understand how Jan Palach felt or others, Jan Zajíc, and so. You asked about what people should take from the pages, so I think it's not only this historical factography or knowledge about Jan Palach and historical context, but our aim was make them ask more general questions or essential questions facing this act and this life story, like have I done any good for the others, or what kind of life I live. And so I think this moral impact of this act was very important to us.
Eva Nachmilnerová, one of the organizers of the new Palach website, ending that edition of Czech History by Christian Falvy. And now we'll wind up today's half hour from Prague with another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series ABC of Czech, which Radio Prague is currently rerunning.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech. My name is Pavla Horáková and today I'm joined in the studio by Alena Škodová. We have reached the letter I, which means we are going to talk about institutions. The Czech Republic is a bureaucratic superpower, someone has once said. Czech bureaucracy,
byrokracie,
indeed drives everybody mad, and foreign residents are usually shocked when they first encounter it. Whatever you want to do, there are always identity cards, personal numbers, permits and licenses, rules, regulations and complicated forms dampening your spirits. Anyone who has ever ventured into a Czech office with some innocent query will understand where the writer Franz Kafka found inspiration for his novels. Let's start with the police, or
policie.
Although the Czech police force is fully staffed, there never seems to be a policeman in sight when you need one. Foreigners who ask for a residence permit in the Czech Republic have to undergo the ordeal of reporting to
cizinecká policie,
the foreign or immigration police. At the social insurance office,
správa sociálního zabezpečení,
and the inland revenue,
finanční úřad,
the clerks are not so hostile but still unfriendly and unhelpful, and the forms,
formuláře,
are no less unintelligible. The same goes for government ministries,
ministerstva,
health insurance companies,
zdravotní pojišťovny,
and local authorities,
okresní úřady.
Czech courts,
soudy,
are often criticized for their inefficiency and sluggishness. Foreigners say that the Czech language, albeit difficult, has some discernible logic to it. But Czech bureaucratic language seems to make no sense and sometimes seems to be of absolutely no use to anyone. Grumble as they may, however, Czechs probably cannot imagine their life without it. The most striking example of the Czech attitude to bureaucracy was when a few years ago a special government commission with several subcommittees was set up to fight the problem of red tape. And that's all for today, I'm afraid, as I have a stack of forms on my desk that I need to fill out now. So until next...
Naschledanou.
Goodbye.
Pavla Horáková with that edition of ABC of Czech. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then the email address is english@radio.cz. And you can also write to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. This is Daniela Lazarová, saying thanks for joining us today and take care.